This is Matt Wells with UN News. Reform of UN peacekeeping should include more emphasis on non-military smart pledges, which make missions around the world stronger and more effective. That's according to Canada's Minister of National Defence, Harjeet Singh Sajjan, who was at UN headquarters this week to support the Secretary-General's call for a more realistic approach to peacekeeping. Canada hosted a major defence ministerial conference in Vancouver last October and pledged then to provide resources that support multiple UN missions beyond supplying boots on the ground. Christina Silveiro asked Mr. Sajjan what Canada's strategy was in pledging to provide helicopters to the UN mission in Mali, MINUSMA, by the end of the year.
The smart pledge is about providing a unique capability that only certain nations have, and Canada has the ability for providing this capability, and no other nations have been burdened with it as well. So the whole plan is to be able to get into a rotation of key capability support. So providing these helicopter support is how the smart pledge will work.
You mentioned how Canada had the Vancouver conference. Also, in 2016, Canada had pledged to contribute 600 troops, 150 police, planes, helicopters, trainers. We're now looking at around 200, and at the end of this year, and having turned down several UN contribution requests, can you tell us why has it taken so long for Canada to come through?
No, in fact, actually, what we've said is we're going to be re-engaging in peace support operations. But what we want to do is make sure we support the UN's reforms, and also how can Canada contribute to peacekeeping itself, and try to not just looking at deploying in one location and trying to have a micro impact. How can we provide key enablers that are force multipliers that can help multiple missions? That's what smart pledging is about. And we have committed to up to 600 Canadian Armed Forces personnel and 150 police officers. But what we're doing is this is not about one time. We have, for example, our tactical airlift that's going into Entebbe, Uganda. We'll have the helicopters going into Mali. And we have another smart pledge of a quick reaction force that we're looking at the different possibilities. So we have the ability to go up to 600 personnel. It's 200 is part of the quick reaction force, but when you put the whole totality together, it is up to 600 that we have the authorities for. But we're taking a very comprehensive approach that the United Nations is also trying to push. This is not just about military resources. You need capacity building, you need the development to really have the impact. And that's what we're providing here, making sure that we as a nation just not are back into peacekeeping. And if we're coming back into peacekeeping in a big way, we want to support the reforms that the Secretary General is moving towards, because in the end, we believe that that'll have an impact in improving peacekeeping.
Can you explain what those reforms are and how you plan on impacting and multiplying their effect?
Sure. And in fact, actually, our announcement that we made in Vancouver, how we're going to utilize the announcement that we had made, the 600 personnel. So, for example, one of them was about smart pledges. Smart pledges are about making sure that we support many missions that are there. So many nations coming together, provide key enablers that can get into a rotational basis so that commanders on the ground will have the resources to fulfill their missions. It's difficult when you have nations who come in and then they have to leave because no one nation can sustain forever. So that smart pledging is making sure that all the missions have the key enablers. That's one of them. The other piece of it is making sure that how do we increase the number of women in peacekeeping? So the ELSI initiative and what we're trying to do and incentivize nations for sending more women onto peacekeeping operations, because we know that having more women on peacekeeping operations reduces conflict. The training aspect, we know that some UN is still having challenges with troop contributing nations not coming as well trained. So we will look at opportunities and how we can assist with pre-deployment training and potentially look at mentoring on missions if the situation is right. So those are the things that have been identified. So what we looked at was, if those are the concerns that have already been identified, well, how do we look at supporting them? Rather than coming up with our own idea on what we think we can do, let's support the reforms, which we do agree with. And that's what our contributions that Canada is making, that's what they're about.
Now, you know from your own experience, and you've seen how important the understanding of a local context is to make operations successful. Mali is a complex field of operations and one of the deadliest missions in UN history. So after analyzing the terrain and what impact Canada can have in the Malian context, what is it that Canada is uniquely bringing to Mali? What impact are you hoping to have?
Well, no, we can't just bring something in immediately to say that we're going to fix things. We have a lot to learn as well on Mali. I visited our embassy there, and they're doing some tremendous work from the whole of government comprehensive approach side. We're making a contribution for the key enablers for helicopters. We will, as our knowledge base grows and working together with the other nations and the UN, we'll look at opportunities and how we can improve things. We know that there's challenges with the radical groups. We know that there are challenges with organized crime that are using routes through the country. So those are those things that we need to look at. We know that there
that
is...
perception.
And the perception, is absolutely. And there is you can see a divide between the poor and the rich, what the radical groups are taking advantage of. The youth bulge is also becomes a challenge, because when children don't have a future, either they're forced or sucked into the radical groups and makes the problem worse. So those are those challenges. We want to look at how we can assist with coming up with solutions. And one of the things that we did in Vancouver was we brought the business community together. If we're looking at eventually, we know we have to give a future for the younger generation. Or if we're able to pull some of the child soldiers as part of the Vancouver principles, what they're intended to do, out of the radical groups, you pull them out, you get them education, but they need a job. Who's best to create a job? The business communities. Let's use their experience, their talent, and their expertise to be able to look at what is the best jobs that can be created. So those are the things that we'd like to kind of bring to the table. And I know that our ambassador here, Marc-André, is also working on with the private sector and how do we look at the next steps. The military only buys you time. And what we need to do is, how do you look at addressing the root causes of those conflicts?
Is this complementary aspect also one that you're hoping to take to Mali now?
Well, right now is this is the knowledge base. We can't just say it's going to happen overnight, but these are some of the things that we have learned, and it's going to take some time for, I think, us to be able to figure out where we can best contribute and working with other nations and how we can pool resources. And what I always look at it as a representative of Canada, what we want to look at is, when we send resources into a place, we want to get the maximum impact. But at the same time, we also want to look at what is the fastest way to address the root cause of the conflict. I know the UN is working towards peace, towards getting the more groups signatory to the peace accord and making sure that it's properly enforced, and at the same time trying to prevent the radicalization. I think the best thing that we can also look at is making sure the youth that's also there that's not part of the radical groups is making sure that they actually have a future. I think that's going to be very important. And that's what I think the Secretary General is trying to do with the comprehensive approach, and something that we in Canada agree with, because when we announced our mission, we announced it as part of a whole of government comprehensive approach with not just the military, but development and diplomacy attached to it.
You mentioned the ELSI initiative. Is Canada going to be walking the walk on that with the Mali pledge?
In fact, actually, every mission that we conduct we always conduct a GBA plus analysis. Our military works very hard to have as many women on positions, but I don't set a criteria onto it, because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that the military has the right people to do the job. But I can assure you, when it comes to this, one of the things that we're looking at is we're going to be able to increase more women on peacekeeping operations as we increase more women into our military. And that's what we're working very aggressively on. We will lead by example, and we encourage other nations to do the same.